Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And with me is my travel companion who went with me in November to Israel. What about the weather over there, Brenda?
It was very, very warm and unseasonably warm and very dry and very, dry, warm.
But this is supposed to be the rainy season.
I know.
They're supposed to be having cold weather. Brenda had told me on the way, I said, you bring warm clothes. It's cold season over there. I'm telling you what, it was in the 90s, 80s and 90s every day. But it's sad because this is the season when they're supposed to be getting the early rains. So one thing you probably want to remember is to pray for Israel to get those rains. Now, the reason I went and the reason I went so soon was because of the Ezekiel tablets. We talked about them yesterday. You can go on the archives and find out what they are. Just to tell you just really fast, the whole book of Ezekiel was written on tablets made out of three products: black basalt, white marble, and limestone. And they're about 7.5 inches square, except for the black basalt ones. And the black basalt ones are double. Brenda, what's on those black basalt ones?
Well, I do not know how to read Hebrew, but we were told that it was the sins that they did in the temple, and that made them, one of them was they turned their back on God.
They turned their backs on God, and it's horrible things.
Yeah.
If you can really read Hebrew, what they did.
Yeah.
They worshiped the sun.
In the east.
Yeah, they worshiped the sun. They turned their backs on God.
Because the Ark of the Covenant, from what I understand, was the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Is that correct? In the west?
Yes, that's true.
So when they went to the east to worship the sun, their back was on the Ark of the Covenant.
And they did horrible things. I tell you, I'm a grandmother, and I really don't even want to say what they did. But if you know how to read the Hebrew, they passed wind in the face of God. And they brought false idols in there. And so the Lord told them, this is why you're going to lose your temple. Mm-hmm. And so those scriptures, those ones are written on the black basalt.
Their sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's raised. These are little tiny raised letters. We said yesterday, nobody knows how they got on there. And this would be, if it's what we think it is, the only original word of God that we have. It was stolen by Arab grave robbers out of the tomb of Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet went over into Babylon, into Iraq, with the people of Israel. And when he died, they so revered him that they made his tomb the place that they went up to every one of the days of the feast. You know, the three feasts of the legs, when they all went up and visited on the Passover, and then on Shavuot, and then on Sukkot, which is tabernacles. So he was very, very revered. And it's a strange thing, but he's also revered by the Muslims. So that's probably the working of God, too, because they do keep his tomb done well. And in that tomb, he had asked, the Talmud refers to this, he had asked, or he had commanded, we don't know if he commanded a scribe, or if he did it himself, or if it was done by God, because the man hours that would have taken alone to carve away the rock, and there are no carving marks,
mm-hmm.
to away from the little letters, each stone would have taken a man more than a year's work.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 71 of them, and 69 are there. Amazing, and I'm going to put one picture of this. They allowed us into the files of the museum, and in fact, they have now allowed us to make copies of everything in the files of the museum, which is just a wonder, because it used to be, and we found out that this is contrived, it used to be that they tried to play down what the stones were, and they tried to shy away anybody coming in and looking at the stones. Because for one thing, they said they didn't have the security mm-hmm. to keep them. So
they're worth, I don't know, do you want to talk about how?
Well, actually, two of the stones were held by an individual person in France. And many years ago, the French government paid $50,000 per stone. But they really are priceless. Think about it. The Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The original. We don't have any anywhere. Everything we have is copies of copies, the oldest manuscripts. And we have nothing on stone. But we do have these. And the man, we're calling him Mr. Y, who is the expert on the stones. That's one reason why we went over. He's had a massive heart attack. And we wanted to be with him. And oh, did we have a good time. What did you think about him, Brenda?
He was phenomenal, really. He was just a phenomenal man. And like Mom said, I've never met or been in company with a man that was so intelligent like that. He, you know, he talked about when he won the he won the the Israeli chess champion in a certain year. I don't know, you know, but he was talking about the man that won the world, and he said that the man that did, he was an invalid. He had a brilliant mind, and he only had three fingers. And he said that he let his knight go early on in the match. And, you know, he said, you just don't do that.
27 moves later.
Yeah, and he asked him, he said, why did you do that? And he said, rubbing his three fingers together, he said, I felt it. And that's what he told him. That's the intuitively, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, and he told him he knew the next 25 maneuvers after the removal of his knight.
And he won.
And he won.
The world chess.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of a thinker he is. Mm-hmm. We're not just with anybody who doesn't know. So now, Mr. Y, we're going to call him.
Mm-hmm.
He sat down with me, and he showed me some differences. They're minute, but some differences within the allowable of the tablets and the oldest Masoretic Hebrew text that we have. Now, here is one of them. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5. Or I think I'll start with verse 4. For they are impudent children, God sending them to the children of Israel, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them that thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now that's what the Masoretic text says. There has been a prophet among them. The word that makes it past tense is just a little word, a Hebrew word, haya. And that word haya is not on the tablets. You don't say in Hebrew, my father is a doctor. You say, my father, rofe, my father, doctor. You don't say, my father is a teacher. My father, more. You don't have to say, my father is a more, a teacher. So all you have to have to show the present tense is just no state of being verb at all. So the state of being verb is out in verse 5. Yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. That's what's on our Masoretic text. But the word haya is not there. So it gives the meaning of God saying they have to know that a prophet is among them. So it brings the tablets into the present tense. It means they were written while Ezekiel was alive. Now he pointed out to me something else. And like I said yesterday, oh, I'm so thankful that I obeyed the Lord and went to Israel to study Hebrew after my husband passed away. I prayed about what to do. And he said, I want you to study Hebrew in the land. So I did go and study, and I'm not an expert by any means. I'm just a little, tell me da, I'm just a little student of Hebrew. But I can read it, my Hebrew Bible, if I have the Hebrew on one side and I have the English on the other. So this is in verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake. King James says, unto me. There is no unto me on the tablets. I heard him speak. He said to me, the sound is heard. It's not specific. It compares to listening to a running engine. But the word is possessive and reflexive. Mr. Y said to me, it is as if God were murmuring to himself, emitting sounds, and the prophet heard it. Because of the word medaber, the word that is translated spake, it cannot say unto me, There cannot be an unto me with that word because it's not good Hebrew. So unto me is not there. It is not on the tablets. He listened to him speak. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. He said unto me is not there. The word said is not the word said. And God said, he said. In this word, omer, which would be said, or amar, the mem, which is kind of equal to our letter M, and the Aleph, kind of equal to our letter A, are reversed on the tablets. They're not like they are on the Masoretic text. And it doesn't say, he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. It literally says on the tablets, he cursed me. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Now, Mr. Y told me that it has been, you know, those Jews, those Hebrews, they study the word of God. I mean, they've studied it inside out, upside down for years. And they noticed that every other prophet protested when God gave them their assignment. Moses said, I stutter. I'm not a man that can speak. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah said, I'm young. Every one of them protested except Ezekiel. Why did not Ezekiel protest? And that's been one of the questions that the Bible scholars and sages have asked through the years. Here, Yehuda said, the tablets give you the answer. The tablets are that Ezekiel literally wrote, God cursed me. He regarded it as a curse, having to go to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. And you see what he literally had to do, what Ezekiel had to do. He went over with the children of Israel into the early carrying off into Babylon, and he prophesied to them the temple was going to be destroyed. That made them not like him. But then a runner came one day and said that it had been. Then they put confidence in him. But it was literally a curse to have to go to those children of Israel, he felt. That's what he felt. And tell them that their temple was going to be destroyed and all the horrible things that were going to happen. But thank God, he told them in the last what good things were going to happen. And we're going to be talking about that when we tie in the book of Ezekiel with another place we went while we were there, the city of David and the waters of the Gihon. So we invite you to be with us tomorrow. And if you'd like to get on our mailing list, just remember Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org. Spell it with a Y, B-I-L-L-Y-E-B-R-I-M. Or 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim and Brenda Kruko saying, Shalom, shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.